Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And we've got a part D or dose, depending on which language we want to use. Isn't that French or something?
I don't know, man. I'm not smart enough to know that.
I took French in college for a minute, only because I was dating a French girl.
Well,
all I remember is, comment ça va et toi? I don't think that's bad languages, so if you're just cursed, I don't...
You're the leading expert on French in this room, so okay. Whatever you say goes.
All I know is she used to curse me out in French, and I used to be like, oh, yeah, say more. It shows you how type of abuse I was used to from women growing up. So that's why I got engaged here, because she just cursed me out like 7 different languages. And for some reason, that just made me feel loved.
Well, I understand.
Yeah.
I respect it.
All right. Moving on. Back to the podcast now. No more personal therapy. I do another disclaimer that whenever I divulge personal information, you guys can bill me for that. Like, I'll hit your Venmo. I'll send you like 5 cents or something.
Oh,
like
sick. Perfect.
I'm just joking. None of my listeners, don't be asking me for Venmo, because you help me just by listening and holding space for me.
I'll put his Venmo in the show notes.
Okay. All right. So let's get after it. So part 2 of last week's episode, the less you blow up, the more you fall up. Now this little continuation to it is going to be, we're going to take this from a scenario. Imagine you as the parent, you freaked out. You didn't do anything I've ever talked about in the podcast, but to be honest, I don't always do everything I talk about in the podcast either. So, you know, I can even be called a hypocrite. My wife could get on here someday. So, yeah, he's not perfect at this.
Oh, yeah, so I don't have to be perfect.
My wife can guarantee, she can validate that I've got some issues, and I do have moments where I might have some rage management issues, not anger management, just rage management. Just something mild. So imagine a scenario where it just wasn't your day. And you just let it all go. I mean, you just vented on them. Your kids, of course, you're a big volcano. They just finally push you too far. And like I said in the last podcast, it's one of those scenarios where it's like, you've just been too nice. You've let things slide so long. And then at this point, you're like, I'm about to get gangster now. I'm going to let them have it. And you just completely freak out. Like, beyond reproach, the type of freaking out where you don't even want to apologize, even though your spouse, your partner, any witnesses there were like, that was a little much, man. Okay. So that's kind of how we ended the last podcast. I gave you some tips on that. But right now, what I want to talk about, if this has kind of been your pattern for a long time and your reputation is the freaker outer in the parenting situation. So if you're the mom or the dad, it doesn't matter. If you've got the reputation for blowing up, or if you just blew up really, really bad, I don't want you to fall victim to thinking that just because you blow up on your kids, just because they do what you want them to do after this freak out, I don't want you to make the mistake and think that you should repeat that, like that you could use that all the time. Like, that should not be the go-to. I tell parents this a lot, and Brandon, my producer, he knows this. I tell parents, listen, you may get lucky every now and then if you freak out on your kids and you scare them to death and they're like, oh my gosh, and they're freaked out, right? But this isn't 1992. You can't do that all the time. In fact, if you freak out a lot, you'll be dismissed. Your kids won't take it. They won't take you serious. And you'll be showing them the proper terminologies. You'll be modeling for them how to be emotionally unstable. And in case you didn't know this, teenagers don't need to take a class on how to be emotionally unstable. So they don't need you to act like a teenager. They don't need you to be coming out of pocket and saying a bunch of stuff that you regret or at least should regret or be embarrassed about. They need you to be more of the person who can keep it together so that they can have their issues and that they can be emotionally unstable, but you're not affected by it, or at least not overly affected by it. You don't have to be happy with it. I'm not asking you to be like, you know, some sort of Buddhist monk and just meditate when your kids are yelling at you or they're acting irrational. What I want you to do instead, after it's all said and done, you realize what you did was wrong. You need to come to your kids and you need to model them something totally different. So the first part of this episode or last episode, I was talking about you don't want to blow up because you're not going to follow up. And in that case, you don't want to blow up because if you don't follow up, you're modeling for them that they shouldn't take you serious, that you just run your mouth, you're a paper tiger, but you don't really back it up. So right now, we're going to switch a little bit and you're going to just learn just really briefly a basic thing you could do to help model for your kids something completely different. Every parent wants their kids to be accountable, to apologize, and say they're sorry if they make a mistake. In fact, most parents say something along these lines. Hey, if you tell me the truth, and if you don't lie about it, then you'll get in less trouble. Most parents want to reward their kids for telling the truth, even if their kids, you know, even if their kids don't want to tell the truth, you know that if you can get them to tell the truth and you give them a little bit less punishment, that should give your kids a little bit more motivation to tell the truth in the future. Well, if you freak out on them, and you get them to tell you the truth and they tell you the truth and then you freak out on them more and you double down on that and you get upset and you hold that resentment towards them. Again, you're modeling for them that you cannot handle the truth. So I want you to model a real genuine apology. So besides having your kids be accountable or wanting your kids to be accountable, every parent wants their kids to apologize because that's part of being an accountant, right? That's the action of being an accountant. My bad, I'm sorry. But follow it up with details of why you're sorry. When kids say, sorry, or parents, when you got a five-year-old, hey, tell your little brother or tell your older sibling you're sorry for doing that. And they go, sorry. Okay. Works great when they're a little kid. But when they're not five and they're like 15, the sorry is really a bad apology. You want details. So you as a parent, you're going to give details. So back to the scenario, you freaked out, you lost your cool. You should be embarrassed by your behavior. Maybe other people say you should be embarrassed by your behavior. You start to calm down. Your emotions start to subside. You start to realize that was a little much. Your ego and your pride is telling you, don't go apologize to them. Your parents never apologized to you. Your parents never went to therapy. Your parents never listened to podcasts or read books to try to become a better parent. That's what they get. Instead of taking that temptation and listening to that voice inside your mind, your ego, I suggest you take a different approach. You go to your kid when you're nice and calm, knowing that when you apologize, there's a strong chance that your kids may take shots at you and they may say, yeah, it was rude. I didn't like it how you talked to me like that. And you may be surprised that your kids are even talking to you like that, especially when you're trying to apologize. Now, mind you, I hear a lot of teenagers tell me they feel the same way. They go to apologize to their parents and their parents say, see, I knew you're wrong, or I knew I was right. That's why you should never do this. And if your parents, teenagers tell me this, when their parents load more guilt, shame, and anger on them after they're apologizing, that feels even worse. Because it's actually worse to criticize someone and get all of their case when they're trying to do better and when they're in the middle of an apology. So parents, I want you to apologize something more like this. Okay. I'm just going to cut right to the chase, and I need to tell you the way I acted last night or a couple hours ago was completely wrong. It was not the way I would want anyone to treat me, and I may sound like a hypocrite, but I got to be honest with you. If you were to treat me like that, I'd be pissed off at you, and I wouldn't want to talk to you either. So if you don't want to talk to me right now and you're mad at me, I get it. Like, you do you, be mad at me. Don't talk to me, but I need to apologize to you. I've always told you your whole entire life, you need to own up when you do something wrong and you need an apology and not make any excuses for it. You can give details why you did it, but just don't make excuses for it. So I'm going to do that right now. Shouldn't have acted that way. What I said was way too personal. I feel really bad that I hurt your feelings. And I know, you know, it may cause some beef between us and you may not want to open up to me more in the future. And the only way for me to rectify that, the only way for me to make that better is for me to apologize right now and show you from now on, not only am I going to work on it, I'm going to make serious changes. So I give you permission in the future from here on out. If I ever snap at you, if I ever yell at you, if I ever just come down on you really hard, even if you deserve it, I want you to pull me aside, send me a text, or you know, tell me privately with no one else around that he didn't appreciate that. The reason why I don't want you to do it in front of other people because I have an ego too. I get defensive and I'm not perfect. I don't expect you to be perfect either. So if you make mistakes and I do happen to blow up on you, which by the way, that's my goal to not do that anymore. But if I do happen to blow up on you, or if you think I'm being a little too personal, like I'm making like what you did, like making it out to feel like you're a bad person, pull me aside, tell me, say, hey, dad, mom, remember that time when we had a talk and you told me I could tell you if I felt like it was personal? It's one of those times. And then you just give me the details from your side of the story. And that's going to remind me of this promise and this commitment I made to you right now. Time out. So stop that scenario. It's at that point, you got a mic drop and walk away. You don't want to be stuck there. If your kid doesn't say a word and they're like, okay, and you start fishing for their response and start saying things like, so did that make sense? Or what do you think? Like, do you think you can do that? And they may say something like, well, yeah, I guess so. Like, if you respond with, well, did it not make sense? I mean, aren't you happy that I apologized? Like, isn't apology a good thing? See what I'm doing right now? Like, if you hear that, it's like, now as a parent, we said the right thing. We did the right thing. But now we're needing validation from our kids that we're a good parent. You guys, it's not our kids' job to make us feel like we're a good parent. That's just a bonus. I've been living in the bonus time for the past year. Every day my son tells me he loves me and dad, you're such a great dad and gives me all these compliments. I literally feel uncomfortable with it sometimes. I'm like, does not compute. Just 2-3 years ago, he wanted nothing to do with me. He always went to his mom. I think I've talked about it on some podcast before. I'm just being real with you guys. Like, I was desperate to have a relationship with my son. And I was just the vehicle to get him to mom. Like, he didn't want anything to do with me. And in his defense, I was probably a lot more intimidating and more intense when I'd tell him things. Mom would yell at him, but he never took it personal. If I even like raised my voice a little bit, it was like, oh my gosh, it was like the most horrible thing I could say to him. So when he's telling me these things, it's because I had to do this over and over and over again, not for days, not for weeks, for multiple years. I had to earn that my son can tell me, dad, you're a good dad. I love you. Thank you so much. He wasn't going to tell me those things if I was always making him feel like he was a bad son. In fact, I went the opposite approach. I started apologizing. And I remember growing up, I'd hear from older men like, if you apologize to your kids and now you're setting the precedent or you're setting the example for them that you have a lot of mistakes and that they can challenge you and they can combat with you and they can argue with you. I'm like, okay. But now I realize, wait, if I apologize to my kids, then it's going to give them the courage to speak their mind, to tell me how they really feel, and that I may have to take that as a parent and listen to their suggestions. And I may have to ask myself, gosh, are they right? Could I be better? And then take that information and thank them for telling me things that could help me be a better parent, which is what I do. I think it's a good thing. See, it's all how you look at it. If you look at it from you apologize, you bend the knee to your kids, you give them power, then they're going to use that power against you. You're making a big mistake in thinking that your kids are not your children. Your kids want your love. They want your respect. They want your attention. They want your admiration. So if you apologize to them, they're going to respect you more. Now, they're kids, teenagers. So if they try to test those boundaries and be like, hey, dad, you're doing that again. If they keep on bringing it up to you and harassing you about it and trying to make you look bad, well, then you pull them aside and just have another conversation. Hey, that's not what I meant by this. I'm trying to be cool with you. I'm trying to help you out and I'm trying to apologize to you. But I feel recently you haven't been apologizing to me when you make mistakes and it kind of hurts my feelings. And I feel sometimes I'm deserving an apology too. I'm not going to make you give me one, but I'm just telling you how I feel. Parents that learn this back and forth with kids, you're teaching your kids not how to debate. You're teaching your kids how to solve differences. You're teaching your kids that no one is above mistakes, that you even as parents need them to help you understand what you're not doing good or what you could do better. If you want them to take your advice, if you want them to take your criticism and you pointing out things they could do or need to do to become a better person, isn't it only fair and wouldn't it just make sense if you open up the door so that they felt comfortable that they could do the same thing with you? My son, the past 2 weeks, has said things to me. Put it this way. My son is hiding cookies from me at my house. Yes, he gets that from his mom. He's like, Dad, I know this woman baked cookies at night. Go to bed. There's 10 cookies left. Wake up in the morning. There's like 6 cookies left. Dad, did you eat those cookies late at night? I'm like, in the past, I used to like fight with my wife. Like, oh, I was just hungry, this, that. I just look at my son like, you're right, son. Tell you what, you probably should hide those cookies for me because I definitely don't need to be eating 6 cookies at 2 a.m. I'm just sitting there looking at him going, if I would have even tried to give criticism like that to my mom or my dad, oh my gosh, what would have happened? It was like, it was a sign of disrespect if you had an opinion. No, that is not the way I'm going to raise my family. And that's definitely not the way you should raise your family, at least according to my opinion. Now, I think my producer over there is patiently raising his hand. He has to go to the bathroom or he wants to comment. Well, what are you thinking of, Luby?
I have 3 things. So the first one is with apologies, and this goes in general. The reason a motivation for your apology should not be for forgiveness from the other person. That is a bonus on top. If you did something wrong and feel the need to apologize to clear the air, to rectify how you feel and to acknowledge that you messed up, if somebody chooses to forgive you, because you taught me this back when I was a teenager, of you sometimes need to apologize with the expectation of this person does not have to forgive me just because I said sorry. There's times where people can say, I appreciate your apology, and there's consequences to your decision. Now, on the parenting scale of things, that doesn't always work out. That being said, is when you're trying to elicit information from your kids, don't do that. Your kid may be shocked you're apologizing, may not know the motivation.
Yeah.
When you talk about statements versus questions, sometimes it takes a while for the kids to trust that is your intentions actually pure on this,
because or is this a trap? Are they apologize just almost like an apology gaslight? It's
correct. I also think the other thing that goes into apologizing to your kids from the old school approach of I don't need to apologize to my kids and you posture up on that is I think maybe you can weigh in on this is when your parents are apologizing to you or allowing you to apologize to them. Really what you're learning is how to apologize to yourself in the future for when you make mistakes. Because if you make a mistake or your parent makes a mistake and then it's we never talk about it and we just sit with these feelings and deal with it, well, when the kid's 23 and makes a mistake, they're going to go back to the emotional memory of, well, when mistakes happened in the past or I made them, what happened? Oh, we just didn't discuss it. I don't know if that's good for you overall. And I forgot the 3rd thing, so.
Okay. Well, hey, those two are really good. And you're right. I did teach that to you as a teenager with a lot of other teenagers who are also struggling with very similar things because what Brian's referring to, you know, we're doing these social support groups for a very long time. And one of the biggest things that kids would come and complain is the blatant hypocrisy from their parents. Their parents are demanding them to be accountable and apologize. But when their parents made a mistake, their apologies sound more like this. I'm sorry I didn't do that for you. And I know I should have, but you know, it's like, I'm just tired of the way you've been treating me all these years and this and that. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like, who's going to be the adult in the room, you guys? Like, you have to understand as parents. Go, I take the back. You don't have to understand. I hope that you'll consider and that you'll want to understand. You're an adult now. You're not a kid anymore. Most parents, myself included, I still kind of think I'm a teenager. Like, I don't think I'm old, even though I am. And so I look at my kids, especially as they get older and they become the size of an adult, it's easy to make the mistake that I'm being disrespected. They are completely saying they don't appreciate anything I've ever done for them. You know what that sounds like? A teenager. It sounds like a teenager's rational thought or lack of rational thought and emotional response to something. So I just want to remind you guys, you're adults. You're not a kid anymore. Please be the person that can go first. Be the person that can say, my bad, I'm sorry. If your kids take advantage of that, then you got to put them in check again. But the apology is really you checking yourself. The apology is you saying, I'm not so big that I'm always right. it's hard for parents when you pay for everything, you give birth to them, you raise and do all these things, to not want complete obedience. And if your kids don't behave a certain way, then now off with their head, you need to take a pound of flesh for them. They need to pay the price for it. That is so unnecessary. In past generations, it's all they knew, but we know better now. Punishing your kid for their mistakes is necessary. But what type of punishment are you using? Are you using the type of punishment that is like a purposeful struggle punishment, right? Now they got to work with you. Some of my parents I work with, the kid's punishment is, not punishment. They could either go without their friends for a week, lose their phone for a day, or they could watch a family movie. They get to choose their punishment. And normally they wouldn't choose to watch a family movie, but they're going to choose to watch a family movie as opposed to losing their phone for 2 or 3 days, or they can't hang out with their friends. So purposeful struggle can be found in all different types of scenarios and situations. But I want you guys to see that the example of apologizing to your kids is one, putting yourself in check. And everybody loves a boss or a leader who says, my bad, that was my fault. You guys don't even get in trouble for this, because even though you guys made the mistake, I was the one in charge of it and I didn't help you with that situation. So that's on me. Everyone loves that type of a leader. But when the leader is like, I never make mistakes, and pointing blame at everyone else, guess what? You get a lot of disgruntled employees. Nobody wants to follow you. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, I talk about always looking at your family like it's a business. The family business is no different than any other business. If the CEO and the CFO of the company are above criticism, they can't take information from the other people in the company and the lower level people in the company, well, then you don't have a free company. You don't have a company of shared ideas and experiences. What you have is you have like a monarchy. You have like a totalitarian government where it's like the boss makes a decision, nobody else has a say. Last time I checked, no family and no actual real business operates well if there's not a group and a team of people sharing ideas and also holding each other accountable.
I agree. Also, too, going back to when you're apologizing, if your teenager starts taking shots at you, and I think as a whole, as somebody who gave a lot of lip to their parents and somebody who talked a lot, the one thing I would say is, take a step back from your teenager saying that and be appreciative of the fact that they trust you enough to say those things. If there's consequences, that's not saying don't go without consequences. And if your teenager can trust that you can handle getting criticized or going back and forth, maybe, let's say in the worst case scenario, your teenager's suicidal, that they trust you to tell you. Because that's what it comes down to at the end of all of this is, do your kids trust you to tell you what the most important thing in their life? Yes or no? Because all this other stuff is just testing and figuring out to that moment.
Yeah, and how can you teach your kids how to manage their emotions and stay calm in combative situations if you're not leading with that? If you're not apologizing, they're not going to learn how to do it properly. Like, if you're not apologizing well, if you're not holding yourself accountable, but you want them to hold yourself accountable, all these things are just classic, basic social interactions with people. But when it's our kids, it just hits harder. It feels more personal. And we make the mistake sometimes of wanting to make it feel personal for them. So it drives them to be more motivated. Your kids are more motivated to make you happy than they would ever be more motivated to not piss you off.
Yes.
All right, you guys. Well, thanks as always for listening to OG Therapy. You can follow us on all different platforms. And until next time, be cool.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.